To be in him is not an option. This is life and death. Like a diver needs air. Like a branch needs a vine. Like a heart needs a beat. Son of God. Rescuer. Jesus. Through him. With him. In him.
Presence Conference 2016. Guest speakers, Canon J. John, Louis Giglio, Samuel Rodriguez, and Phil and Chris Pringle, along with the C3 band from the 19th to the 22nd of April. Register at presenceconference.com.
Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
As we come around this word tonight, I realize how precious people's dreams are to them. And they can take the form of many things. I pray with so many couples who haven't been able to have children. It's been their dream to have their own children. We've seen that miracle hundreds and hundreds of times. Not just once or twice, but so many times. People who are dreaming, wives and mothers are dreaming of their home. Maybe not like the dream home, but just having a house, just somewhere that they can call their own. We've seen that happen under impossible circumstances. Many, many, many times. People have thought that the days for being married were over. And then suddenly, something beautiful happens. Miracles happen. You need to know that miracles happen. And they happen for people who dream a dream, who dare to dream a dream. And I say the word dare because it's like a step of brave faith and courage to allow ourselves to hope for something better. Because all of us are fearful of disappointment, of being let down, of dreaming for something that never happens. And it's so hard to take when what we thought we should have hasn't taken place yet. But I want to share a word with you here tonight that I believe will help you to reach out, even if it is from a tender part in your heart, from a bruised part in your soul, to reach out with strength and say, you know what? I may be weak, but God is strong. I have a dream. God has a call on my life. And I know that here this evening, that will unravel in your heart and mind. He is the divine architect with the blueprint of your destiny. And he wants to unroll it and show it to you. And if you will yield your heart to him here in this place tonight, that call will become clarified, crystal clear. Father, anoint me here tonight. I thank you for that great touch of heaven that is here in this meeting. The beauty of God and the glory of your holiness. Fill this house, overflow this place with an abundance in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, yeah, give the Lord a great praise offering, clap offering. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wonderful. I'm so excited to see you here. I think this might be our biggest New Year's Eve service we've ever had. I'm sure it is. It's certainly the best one we've ever had. It feels like the best one we've ever had. Awesome. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad I'm sitting next to you. Would you do that? Thank you very much. Thank you. You could, I'll call you up. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So, I came up with five elements out of Psalm 37 that I wanted to share. The first was calm in Christ. The second is confident in Christ. The third is celebrating in Christ, committed in Christ, and composed in Christ. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So let me just stop there and talk about being calm in Christ. Do not fret because of evildoers. You know what it's like when some people are doing bad things to you and you don't know what to do about it, but it's causing you anxiety all day long? When I was first a pastor and Chris and I were looking after a little church in a town in Littleton, there was a couple of ladies in there who started gossiping about us, telling lies about us, and started spreading news all around the town about us. And they were in the church, and they felt like they should have some rights to being in the government of our little church of 30 people, for goodness sake. And so they were a little offended that I wouldn't give them a position and let them loose, you know, in ministry or something. And so they started talking this, and it was causing me so much grief. I think, how do I stop this? What do I do? And it's keeping me awake at night. And it was just a crazy little problem. And the Lord spoke the scripture to me, fret not yourself because of evildoers. I said, Lord, you can't talk like that. They're Christians. And he said, are they doing evil? I said, yes. He said, they're evildoers. Don't worry about them. They'll soon be cut down like the grass. I won't tell you what happened to them, but it was not good. They were not in the church for very long. They were gone. But you will find that there are all sorts of things going on in all of our world that are going to cause you to be anxious. The world is full of problems, and your world will have enough problems of its own, correct? And what are you going to do? You're going to worry about them or have miracles. It's your choice. You can have miracles or you can just worry about them. How do you get miracles? Well, you start to pray and you thank God for everything that's going on in your life. You can complain about your problem or you can thank God for your problem. It's your choice. Every time you complain though, every time you go, it's like you take a knife and you go stab, stab, stab to your spirit. You're killing your own soul. Every time you criticize another person, you think you're doing them down, but you're killing yourself. It's so enticing to pull them down. You feel so justified, so righteous, but it's fretting yourself because of evildoers. That word to fret means to heat up. When you're getting hot about something, you're getting all fired up, and the more you think about it, the more fired up you get. The Bible says don't think about that stuff. Think about things that are good. Okay, what's the goodest thing I can think about? Well, a person who was walking around Galilee and Nazareth a few hundred years ago, putting his hands on blind people and they could see. That's pretty good thinking about that. I could think about other more recent things like Reuben and Deb McIntyre. I could think about their cheerful smile, the good things they do, the way they build the house of God. I could think about even goodest things like Alex Farncombe managed to land a lady, for goodness sake. What? I can think about his quiet voice and his happy disposition. I can think about Alex and Jess. I can think about all these magnificent people. I can think about Bryce Betlam and his gorgeous new wife in San Diego. Ray got born in this church, for goodness sake. Now he's serving the Lord over there in America and all the beautiful things that happened. I can think about Mark and Kerry Saundercock, whom I have known forever. Forever. Poor old Mark, he's getting older and older, but his young wife there looks younger and younger. I could think about those things, but your brain doesn't want to. So why do I think about that? I want to think about these people, these rotten people. And you're just killing your soul. Think about the beautiful things. Oh, isn't that just denial though? You know, aren't you just, you know, avoiding the issue? No. Get real, man. If you heard that, get real, man means be negative. start complaining and get critical. That's what be real means. No, being real is actually being part of the answer instead of part of the problem. Don't kill your soul. Thank God for everything that's going on in your life right now. That's just a new way of thinking. Gonna change my way of thinking. Give myself a different set of rules. We did that on Sunday. I'm not gonna do it again, but such a good statement. I'm gonna change my way of thinking in 2016. I'm not gonna be such a molly grub negative. I'm not gonna be down in the dumps living in the black hole. I'm gonna start coming out of there with thanksgiving. I'm gonna come out of the hole with thanksgiving and with praise on my lips. I'm gonna start worshiping the King of Kings. I'm coming out, I'm climbing up. I'm gonna worship you, Jesus, for washing me, cleansing me, making me whole. That's how you can start your thinking. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. They shall soon be cut down like the grass. I always find it's never soon enough. But anyway, it will be soon. Cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Then it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Be confident in Christ. Trust in the Lord and do the right thing. It's like, I was with somebody the other night. They say, they were talking, you know, amongst themselves about, watch that speed trap down there, that you don't get caught. And then you hear other people talking like saying, you got to watch that you don't get over the limit because you get caught. Or don't have that mobile phone in your hand, you'll get caught. And it's not about doing the right thing, it's about not getting caught. It's about getting away with something. But you could think of, don't hold that thing in your hand because you might kill yourself or just as bad somebody else, and it's happened. And don't drive over the limit because it's just like a smart thing to do. I'm preaching to myself right now. You know what I mean? I'm on the altar call, dear Jesus. Okay, fix that one up. Hey, man, I'll be down there a few times tonight, you know, like. Some of you have Christian stickers on your car. God bless you. Amen. All right. And then dwell in the land. Stay in the place where God's got you. Ah, that preaching on Sunday. I so love bringing that message about changing your brain instead of changing your circumstances. Because if you think, things are changing. It's too expensive to live in Sydney. It's too hard. And you just go to somewhere where it's easier. It's going to get like that there too. Before you know it, you're going to be in Broken Hill. You're going to be in Alice Springs in a tent. Because they're going to be $100,000 out there too. You got to change your mind. You got to get a bigger thinking to accommodate for a bigger world all around you. And so let's make a change in our thinking and accommodate and say, I can do this. I can get into this world where the average price of a house, for goodness sake, is $1 million. You know, in Sydney, it's just mind-boggling. I can remember Chris and I, a number of years ago, when we were, after we had been in our first house that we purchased in Sydney, $135,000, and then we'd been there for 14 years, and it was wrecked because we had so many parties there. And we asked the renovators, should we renovate? They looked and said, really? No, just push it down and start again. It was like beyond renovation. So we're looking around and it was, you know, it got, in 14 years, it had sort of like doubled and doubled in price. And so I looked around and I saw a place and it was $460,000. And it was a beautiful house. And I went and looked at it, looked at it, looked at it. You know, my thinking though, I got to tell you, this is what my thing, I thought, as the pastor, I don't know if I can do that. You know, people will talk. What if the press get hold of that? You know, like the paranoia. We live in this, you know, thinking, you know, what will people say, you know, $460,000. But everybody was buying houses for $400,000. This was a really good deal. But my brain was not yet courageous enough to surmount that. Thankfully, I've gotten over that. Amen. And And I don't worry about that anymore. But there was a time when I had to fight with that and say, I've got to get beyond this small-minded scruple where I'm trying to live to make other people happy, for goodness sake. The secret to misery is trying to keep everybody happy. If you want to be a miserable person, you are never going to keep everybody happy. Understand that. Some people just can't be happy. It's their nature. It doesn't matter what you do. It's not going to be right. They will have it like this or like that. You can do it or you can bend over backwards. It won't work. So just don't be making that a life's pursuit. What your life pursuit needs to be is to please God in heaven. And He is pleased by great bold steps of faith in Jesus' name. When you stay out in faith, you're going to find yourself blessed of heaven. Stay in the land. Abraham didn't stay in the land when it got tough, but his son Isaac did and he got blessed. David didn't stay in the land when he was in trouble. Went down to the land of the Philistines, got in all kinds of trouble, so he came back. Elimelech didn't stay in the land. Took his family down to Moab, got into trouble, ended up dying, and only his wife with one of the daughters-in-law came back. And once they came back and they started to dwell in the house of God, they found that their dreams were starting to come true again. Let me tell you, the house of God is the place where dreams come true. All you got to do is be planted in that house, in the house of God, and you'll find that you will flourish in the courts of God. I can't tell you how many people I know who have, for whatever reason, just uprooted and found a way out and have lost their way. And my heart breaks for them because I think the call and the destiny that is in your heart, It is struggling to even breathe air or find light right now. But those who are just ordinary folk, like me anyway, maybe you're extraordinary, but if you just keep turning up, you'll find God will do extraordinary things with you without any shadow of a doubt. It doesn't matter where you've come from, what you're doing, your destiny is extraordinary. Go ahead, give the Lord a great clap offering. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. I love this. This means God is to be enjoyed, not endured. I mean, is it a burden for you to go to church? It obviously isn't, because you're here on New Year's Eve. But if you ever find that passion, that burning, in your heart, disappearing, you gotta revive it. Heard about a husband, wife who went to a marriage counselor. Just heard it today, I was listening to a podcast and they're sitting in the office and the guy was very deadpan, no passion, no life, just sitting there very uncaring. And the counselor was trying to get him to have some passion, you know, recover that. Man, you gotta get some passion back in your marriage. He says, yeah, whatever. He says, no, you really gotta get passion back. Oh, whatever. Man, and he jumped over the table and laid a great kiss on the guy's wife's lips. He said, she needs that 3 times a week. He said, all right, I'll bring her back Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Sorry. All right. Sounds like a Reuben joke. Delight yourself in the Lord. Don't let, like, you know when you're young in Christ in the wonder? Like, it's too easy to lose the wonder, the wow factor. Recover the childlike, wide-eyed wonder. Oh, it's so good to be in church. So good to be around these people. You can switch revival and refreshing on in your soul rather than waiting for somebody to deal it up for you. And just say, you know what, I'm gonna get into this. I gotta let the passion rise in me, the flame come back on the inside of my heart. Jesus came to a church and he said, you guys, you gotta get back to your first love. Get back to that, the first love, the one that's preeminent in your life and the one that is before all others. It's the first. Verse 5, Psalm 37, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. This has got a number of translations, actually. It also is in various other ways put out in scriptures through the Bible. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, put God in charge of your work, then what you've planned will take place. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And then other translations say of that, put God first in all you do and he will crown your efforts with success. So when I first read that passage, the temptation for me was to say, wow, that's awesome. I can have a desire that somehow independent from God, I can want a thing, and then he has said he'll help me get that thing come to pass. And that was the first way I interpreted that. And I wrote a book called Faith, but I could not publish that book for about 2 years after I'd finished it. There was one page that I needed to have in that book, and it wasn't in there. And as time passed, I began to realize that it wasn't just about me getting what I want from God. And I know tonight we've got a dream service where we're bringing our dreams to God. And this says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I discovered that when you put scripture with scripture, that the will of God is as important as your desires. And if you will first surrender your life and the direction of your life to the Lord, and not just hold on to it, and sometimes even kind of invent his voice in your head to try and convince you that, and your desires can speak very loudly to you and say, oh, this is what God wants, this is what God, and you kind of have another part in you that's not peaceful about it. You know it's not kind of right, but you don't want to listen to that part because that's the part that's going to deny you actually going where you want and getting what you want. But if you can be brave enough to come on that altar and to put your life on the altar, just, I used to have pulpits that were strong enough for me to get on, but I'm not going to do that here. But if you can tonight not just bring your dream, but bring your life to the Lord, this is how I know that the dreams that you've got in your heart will actually come to pass. There is a way that seems right to man, the Bible says, but the end of it is death. And that is when we're trying to get what we want in our time and by our means, by our way. But when I pick up my cross and lay down my life and I put myself on the altar and I commit my life to God and I start to do what he wants me to do, even though it's somewhat inconvenient, even though it's sometimes very inconvenient, it's certainly not what I would have planned to do myself, but it's a cross on my will. And I say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to be a disciple. And I fear that sometimes we are mixing the Jesus coming to the world to heal all of our problems message, which is true, that's the gospel. But we're bringing that so strongly that we forget he also called us to a life of discipleship. That he says, I want you to follow me. He says, I came to you, I picked up my cross so that I would give you life. Now I want you to lay down your life and pick up your cross for me. So tonight is not just about asking, coming and finding out what God can do for me, but it's also finding out what I can do for God and what I can do for him. Because here is the amazing thing. There are things that you have, dreams you have in your heart that will come to pass if you do that. You know, I went to art school to be a painter when I was 17, Canterbury School of Fine Arts. Didn't graduate, dropped out. And that's quite an achievement to drop out of art school. I mean, it's it's a long way down, okay? So, but I managed. And, you know, I met the Lord. I was so excited about Jesus. I threw it all away, gave it all away for 25 years. Never picked it up again. And then one day, I came out of our bedroom. I can still see the picture. Came out of where we were living in Eleanor Heights. And as I came out, I saw a vision of a painting that I knew I had to do. I had not sold one painting in my entire life until that point, which is like, what, 15 years ago now. And as I saw that picture, I painted it, and instantly it sold. I couldn't believe it. I was now an artist who had sold something. They are not common. I saw one painting. I mean, it's a kind of a cool feeling. You go, wow. It wasn't like I had to go out and advertise and have a big PR thing. It just, boom. I painted that exact same painting again, but a bigger version, because that painting sold for $500. I painted a bigger version of the same painting. And somebody else said, man, I like that painting. Is it for sale? I said, yeah. They said, how much? I said, 2,000? They said, sure. Bang, like that, I'd sold number two. So then I painted a really big version of the same painting. And I sold that one too. And then the Lord said, you know, you could try a different painting if you like. But I found a groove. It just came out of nowhere, people. All I'm saying to you is that something I buried and gave away because I wanted to pick up the cross and be a disciple of Jesus, he gave it back to me 25 years later, and it worked. It worked without me having to graduate from School of Fine Arts at Island, and it worked without me. It sort of like became a gift, a thing that I just did. Hey, the other day, just a little parenthesis here. We're on Easter Sunday morning. We're going to do a live painting here. Amen. I'm going to do a live painting. Haven't done one for a long, long time. So I'm going to do another live painting here. Just letting you know. Get ready. So that's just one area, though. That, honestly, that's just one area. There are all sorts of other areas in my particular world, personal, and in Chris's life, personal areas that we just laid down when we met Jesus and decided we're going to follow him. Because the meaning of your life is far more meaningful than anything that you can get. I know that we would like to get the house, and we'd like to get the job, and I'd like to get, I've got to speak in other persons, you know, like you're trying to get a wife, amen, or you're trying to get a husband, or, and I know all these things are important. They're big areas for people's lives. I know that. But I would like you to also commit them to the Lord for his guidance. And the way that you commit them, and that word means to roll off your hands onto his. So you no longer have any manipulative control to engineer or artificially machinate these things into whatever organized pattern you've taken your hands off, and you say, God, I'm giving you my dreams here tonight. And it might take longer than you want for things to come to pass, but all I'm saying to you is I would like to think that on this night, as you start the new year, that it's not just your dreams coming to the altar, it's you. That in this meeting, you're bringing you, and you're saying, God, here I am. In every area I've been holding back on you, I'm going to bring it to you today. I want to just lay my life afresh back on the altar, because we need renewal. We need to revive that commitment. And sometimes I like the word commitment and sometimes I don't. Because this isn't just commitment, it's consecration. And consecration is being set apart for God for no other use than his. You become sacred. You become sacred in his sight when you say, we're not going to be doing anything. Like all today, you got to know that if I'm preaching at night, I can't do anything else. I can't sort of go down the beach and lie on the beach and surf around and do the gardening and then, you know, then think, oh, got to go to church. Yeah, okay, let's go to church. I can't do that. I got to just sit there all day in the Word and waiting. I got to be set apart. And worship leaders need to be set apart for their calling, whatever it is. Musicians set apart, youth leaders, pastors. We're set apart. And you are, even if you're a business person, a housewife. I don't know if that's a good word these days. Probably not. What's the word? Educate me. Home executive. There you go. Love that word. Home executive. House husband. Well, that's just as bad. House husband, isn't it? You know, as a housewife, it's like a little, some dancing through the tears of a PC world. You know what I mean. Cut me some slack. The thing is that all of you are called. And as I said it in the prayer at the start, your designer has a blueprint. And when you get connected to him and you say, here's my life, he'll unfold it and say, well, this is what I want for you to do. Because as long as you're looking at your plan for you, you'll be relying on your power, your resources, and your ability. But once you say, God, my life is yours, and it can seem a little risky, but man, those disciples, as soon as Jesus said, follow me, they just dropped their nets and started following him. They weren't zombies and under the control of something. They just got a passion in their heart. Said, this is what I want. This is the man who's got the meaning for my life. He's the key that'll unlock the door for me. And Jesus Christ is exactly that. He is the key that unlocks that door for your destiny, for the meaning of your life. And you have a meaning in this world, and you might feel a little lost from that meaning. What am I here for? What am I meant to do? Well, it's one of the big ways of discovering that is when it's not all about me. When I'm able to die to myself and say, it's all about you, Jesus. I am here at your disposal. Whatever you would like, I want to be consecrated to that purpose. I'm going to be committed to that. Commit your works to the Lord and he will bring you great success. And the last one, composed. Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. How you all doing with that? That's hard, huh? That's a really hard one. Do you think? No? The biggest mistakes I've made in my life are because of impatience. Because you get excited about something, you just go ahead and do it, and you're hearing, not yet, not yet, and you say, oh, I'm just gonna go and do it anyway. But if you can wait patiently for the Lord, you'll find rest comes to your heart. Psalm 46:10 says, let go, relax, and know that I'm God. Everybody say that, let go. Relax. And know that I'm God. I know that's like you're saying I'm good, but no, you're not. And it's as though you're speaking from him to yourself. Psalm 27 verse 14 is the last scripture I've got here. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. One of the dreams I have for my life personally is to be stronger. I find as a leader, you can know what to do. You can have the wisdom to know what to do. But it takes strength to actually do it. It's pointless knowing what to do if you haven't got the strength to confront the person and say, this is what needs to happen here. And I find as everything gets bigger, I've also got to get bigger. And I'm praying, God, strengthen me in my mind and in my inner man for the days ahead. I don't want to collapse and not confront a situation because there are more problems caused by weakness of not confronting the situation and trying to avoid it than there are by confronting it at an earlier place. So I pray for strength, and Paul prays for me. He says, I pray that you're strengthened with might in your inner man, Phil Pringle. Have you read that in there? It's amazing. But he prayed it for you too. But that's some of the dreams that I would have, because I know that, or even though I want the external things, that God often wants me to be a participant in making the miracle happen. And I can't make that miracle happen unless I am the kind of person that I need to be to actually bring that to pass. And I got to go up a level in my strength. I got to go up a level in my girding up the loins of your mind. I got to go up a level in the strength of heart and holding attitudes together. And so those things that fall apart on the inside of our lives can actually be the downfall rather than the circumstance. And so on your dream list, maybe not just all physical circumstantial stuff, but some area in your life where you might need to be overcoming, where you need to be able to forgive a particular person, where you need to be able to recapture the passion for Jesus that you once had on the inside of your heart, that you'd stir up that evangelistic gift you once had If there's any gift in the church I find the devil tries to kill the quickest, it's evangelism. And it's not just about saying, oh, I'm going to invite somebody along to church. You know, I'm saying when you go out there, listen to me, you can lead people to Christ right there. Right there in the taxi cab, right there at the next door neighbor's house, right there in the bus station, right there in the restaurant. You can say, hey, we can pray right now. Yeah. And they go, what? So yeah, just close your eyes. We won't be weird about it. Just say this, Jesus, come into my life. They will feel it. He will come in. To get that flame back on the inside. Some of you used to prophesy. Some of you used to lead connect groups. Used to have ministry pouring out of you, but something happened. You got discouraged, you got beaten up and bruised in something that goes down in church, which always happens. And some way, we can put that on our dream list. I'm going to get fully back on track with building the house of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to consecrate myself to seeing this year a fruitful year, and I'm gonna make harness all those gifts that God has got on the inside of me and make them come to pass. Have you written out your dream list there, people? I want you to do this because it's gonna take us around about 20 minutes to actually do this, and then we've got like 5 to 10 minutes at the very end where we're all gonna celebrate the coming in of a new year. Man, I like preaching tonight. Yes. Such a good crowd here with Jake Petlam on the front. And you two are just the most amazing people. The Southwells, my Lord. Unbelievable people. How many children do you have? Three. Have Megan? Kylie? And Beck. Kylie just got engaged. She did too. Come out here, I want to pray for you. This couple got saved in our church, I think in 1984. Am I right? 86, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's all right. You don't look any older than you did right then, Maureen. But this couple have done such an incredible job in building church. They're always there. Second row, third row, their children serving God, building the church up there in Darwin. I was going to say, Ken, Darwin. Amazing. God's been good to you, huh? I simply want to pray blessing on you. Is that all right? Father, put blessing on Barry and Maureen Southwell. This couple have strengthened so many marriages in this church who've been such a blessing to so many people. I pray that 2016 will be their best year ever. And Lord, you will touch them. Oops. Sorry about that. Lord Jesus, touch them. Lord God. Let the blessing of heaven fall. Paul and Sherilyn Bucknell, come out here. Yeah, Lord Jesus, touch this couple. Lord, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, such a new day for them. Such a new day for them. I got the weirdest picture of a guy up in a forest. He's chopping down trees, big, tall trees. I believe God is going to anoint you, Paul, to bring in some very... what might be considered proud individuals who don't need God, but you're going to have an ability and a gift from God to soften their heart and melt them like butter and bring them on their knees to Jesus Christ, where they give their lives to Him. And I see your arms being lengthened around the flock of God, alongside of your wife, pastoring in the house of God, building up the church. I see you putting brick on brick, stone upon stone, expanding the wall and building a temple in which there's a new day of worship happening because of people feeling the love of God and being discipled in the house of God. Here's the anointing. God, I praise you. Father, I praise you for that anointing. My Lord, there's something making people fall over out here, for goodness sake. God is exciting, isn't He? Everybody gets a bit nervous. I'm sorry about this. This is just something that happens every now and then. It's not a gas that we leak out or a nerve I touch like Spock or something like that. It's just a deal. Can we all stand? And we're going to come to the front, and pastors are going to be at the start. at the stations that you went to previously. And we've got anointing oil. So we've got anointing oil, and pastors, if the ladies have got a special hairdo, please don't pour oil all over their head. Just tap them on the head, on the forehead. And every lady's got a special hairdo. You got to understand that. And some of the men do too. Those who don't have any, you're going to be just fine. You can just go for it. And it's going to be a wonderful time. Man, I feel like angels are in this room. I feel like mighty angels. Angels that will stand by you in whatever circumstances you're in. I preach from my heart tonight, church. I really, all day long, have been meditating on the balance or the tension between God fulfilling our dreams and us fulfilling His dream. Between Him being used by us to bless our lives and us being used by Him to bless His world. And I can tell you which way is going to work by far the best for you. If you will simply, you will not lose by giving Him your life. You will be only enriched. Nobody was ever impoverished by giving their life to God. You'll only be enriched with a greater abundance as you yield your heart to God. And this isn't just something we do with a statement at an altar call. It's a lifestyle we're committing to. And it involves our time being in the house of God each week. It involves our ministry, leading a connect group, getting trained in leadership. It involves our finances. It involves our homes, our relationships. So as your pastor, I just wanted to share my heart about that area so that we don't end up with some soft gospel that has no bite to it, has no pull on it, has no burden about it. And it may be an inconvenient thing to you, maybe something you didn't want to hear, but that's good for you. Just to pick it up and say, you know what? I've been living for myself way too much. I need to start living for Christ, no matter how inconvenient it is. After a while, the more inconvenient it is, the more you like it. You smile when God gets the better of you. I live in victory because I've been defeated. I've been defeated by God several times. I've had fights with Him and He won. He wins. When He wins, you win. Because that's where the power is, in being submitted to Him, not being in a rebel against Him. Lord Jesus, here tonight, we pray that You'll help us receive this gospel, receive this message, and own it in our hearts, so that as we approach this year, we won't be just treating You as a glorified Santa Claus of some kind, who's just going to give us good times and good things all the time, but that we'll discover the meaning of our lives, which can only be discovered in surrender, yieldedness, overcoming those things. And sometimes it's only just one thing that's hindering us from that last final step of being yielded to Christ. And I pray You'll light a flame in every heart here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We wanted to wrap up this podcast with an update of some of the great things God has been doing in our community and beyond as a result of your generosity and your partnership. Here is a report by Beyond Director, Pastor Jake Betlem, on some of your achievements from last year.
What an amazing year we've had once again through all our community initiatives. We are so grateful for the passion and commitment of all the exceptional leaders that represent our Beyond strategy. So on behalf of Pastor Phil and Chris, I want to say thank you. Jackie Mikak for leading our scripture teachers, who together teach and minister to over 1,000 students each week. Thank you to Nicole Adler for leading our CAP ministry, who this year helped 56 families get out of debt and in control of their finances. Thank you to Josie Parada, who in 2015 alone provided support for over 50 single mums going through difficult challenges like domestic violence. Thank you to Mitch Hammond and his team of high school volunteers that have helped hundreds of students right across the Northern Beaches. Thank you to Glenn Gorine for leading Roar Effect and a Revolution Red campaign This year they raised $20,000 with 50% going to Kids Helpline. Thank you to Joe McDonough for establishing our new chaplaincy team, with now 25 involved in chaplaincy roles across Sydney. Thank you to the unstoppable Carly Lewis for leading the ever-growing C3 Care Centres. In 2015, our care team across Sydney served over 5,000 meals and connected with almost 500 new people, providing assistance with clothing, furniture, employment, and most importantly, friendship. Thank you to Julian, who coordinates and administrates all our Beyond initiatives, including our international projects like Bader Girls Academy, New Pay Microfinancing, and Child Action Lanka, which alone is responsible for the care of 1,100 street kids in the nation of Sri Lanka. And thank you to you, all our vision builders. Together we have invested almost $750,000 in 2015. This has helped thousands of people right across this city and beyond.
We are seeing so many lives transformed as a result of your faithful generosity and your partnership. Your giving has allowed this podcast and the Your Best Life TV show to bring the good news of Jesus into countless homes all throughout the world, and thousands of lives have been transformed both near and far. Lives just like Alicia Martin, a previous recipient of the Love Sydney gift made possible by your generosity.
C3 Church has been a major part of Food Within. The charity itself would never ever have been developed without the Love Sydney donations.
Please welcome to the stage tonight Alicia Martin, her husband Neil, and her sons Wayne and Brad. We're delighted to present a donation of $15,000 to you.
When we received the first donation, it allowed us to be able to provide healthy food for so many families in the community. The second donation allowed us to set up a community supermarket, which in tail we helped over 816 families with healthy food. We have seven areas that we also look at for families when we give them food. When they goal set, we include spiritual, because I believe my faith has gotten me through some very hard and difficult times. I started to do the research of how to get the program where people could barter, work for food across Australia. So great news is, February 2016, we're rolling out the program for Parramatta, Blacktown, Penrith area. 3 months later, we're hoping that'll go across rural country areas, and then by 12 months, Australia-wide, which is fantastic.
So on behalf of all the lives that have been changed and transformed by the power of God, we say thank you. We're praying for God's richest blessing in your life, your family, your business, and that you would discover your best life in Jesus Christ.
Hi friends, I am so excited about our new album, Only Love. You can download it on iTunes. It is fantastic. I've found this has such a buoyant effect on my soul. When I'm listening to this music, it lifts me, it helps me worship God. And I'm telling you, during the day when I'm not even listening to the music, those songs keep singing themselves on the inside of my heart. I know you're going to love this great album, Only Love, from C3 Church.
Listening. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions that you have made and the great things that God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share, or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.